Well, it's a joy to be able to come and speak with you this morning. It's speak with added croak. It landed on me about midweek, and I was hoping it might be clear by the weekend. But Karen likes it so much that I'm trying to keep it a bit longer, I think. But it's time for Christmas, isn't it? Don't sound so sure about that. It's time for Christmas, isn't it? Yeah, panto season as well, and you should have been better than that, shouldn't you, really? Oh, no, you're not, no. I started something bad there. But let's start with just reminding ourselves of the first Christmas, and I'm going to turn to Matthew's Gospel in chapter 1, where Matthew gives us a brief summary, but some key verses there that we'll hear the echo of later as I share with you. So Matthew chapter 1, I'm reading from verse 18 through to the end of the chapter. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Familiar words as we remember that first Christmas, and as we come to celebrate again now, because it's time for Christmas. And if you want to join in that chorus together, you can do that. That's fine. Save me croaking all over you, won't it? It's time for Christmas. But I wonder, what's the one question that raises your stress levels at this time of the year more than any other? Is it this one? Are you ready for Christmas yet? Hands up if you're ready for Christmas yet. Right, okay. Guess for most of us then, doesn't it really? Raises our stress levels as we start to think about all those different things that we still have to do. Maybe those cards were not quite written yet, and second class posting last day was yesterday, sorry. And, you know, you're now heading for the last day of posting, I think, is it Tuesday for first class? You know, so there's that kind of time pressure there. There may be presents you've not bought yet, or wrapped, or sent, or there may be food you've still got to get in, and you're thinking, oh no, what is the best day to go and do the supermarket shop for the Christmas weekend? And it just all piles on you, doesn't it, really? And you think, oh no, it's Christmas. Am I really ready for Christmas? Do I want this? Have I got the time to do everything? When am I going to find the time to do everything? I really haven't got the time. Time. We always wish we had more of it, especially when it comes to Christmas, don't we? Yeah, we do. And if only we were this organized. I'm going to leave you with some penguins for a few minutes. There you go, time to perfection, wasn't it? At 1900 hours, they were going to have the music, and then at 2110, they were going to have something else, and it was just all there, precision organized, every time set out. Anyone that organized? Well, obviously not, because there was only a few hands that said you were ready for Christmas, so you're trying to find the time. What are you going to do? If you want to see the rest of that story and how it finishes, you'll have to ask someone to borrow their DVD set of Madagascar, because that's the short that goes with the film Madagascar. And it's worth seeing. It's about 10 minutes long, and I didn't really feel that it had much more to say to us this morning. So go away and enjoy it during your Christmas time. Okay. But there they are, the Madagascar penguins, finding the time for everything. And even Private Penguin had time to think of poor Ted, the polar bear, who was all by himself with nobody to celebrate Christmas with. That's part of what Christmas isn't about, isn't it? There are different things that we all make time for when it comes to Christmas and Christmas holidays. And I think probably for most of us, there are three ways that I want to go through this morning that in different measures we will spend our Christmas time. The first one is this. It's a time for celebration. Parties. Anyone been to a good Christmas party yet? Anyone been to a bad Christmas party yet? Oh, there's a few over there. Yeah, well, there's some infamous Christmas parties, aren't there? You know, if your offices or place of work, you go out with colleagues. Police were gearing themselves up across Lancashire and the towns and cities for what they called Mad Friday. You know, the last Friday before Christmas, expecting a lot of people to be going out to bars and clubs, etc. Going out to have their Christmas revelry and a good time. So it's a time for parties. Maybe we have them in a more quiet and subdued manner ourselves, but maybe we've still got those to look forward to. There's presents, of course, choosing, wrapping, giving, and receiving them, hopefully. Maybe at work you've done a secret Santa. Anyone here been a secret Santa yet? Yes, there's a few there. Secret Santa, for those who've never done Secret Santa before, you might do it in families as well. Some families, they don't do this. They put all the names in a hat that are to be given presents, and everyone takes a turn in pulling out a name from the hat, and that's the person that you are going to be the Secret Santa to. You're going to choose them a gift that you'll then give before they go off for their Christmas holidays. And it's called Secret Santa. There you are. If you've not done that before, it's a new idea for you. And maybe you've spent time doing lights and decorations as well. Checking the lights, of course, first of all, and then spending ages trying to find which is the bulb that isn't working anymore so you can get the set to light up. Yes, there's a few nods of heads around the congregation to that one. And then some of you, maybe you decorate not just the inside of your house, maybe some of you take the time and trouble to decorate the outside of your house as well. And there's a wonderful picture there of a house in Lancashire, which is highly decorated. I hate to think what their electricity bill would be, but there it is. They've really gone to town on lighting it all up. Did you know that lights as decorations at Christmas began as early as 1890? You can answer that one if you wanted to. No, that's good. I'll tell you some more then. What happened is that there was a young American boy, and he fell ill, and he was confined to bed. And all he could see from his bed through his bedroom window was an evergreen tree outside. And he said to his dad, "Oh, is there anything that you could put on the tree to make it more interesting?" And his dad, who happened to be an electrician, hung some coloured lights on the tree. And it was such a spectacle, no one had ever seen it before, that people were coming on horse-drawn carriages and walking from all kinds of different areas to come and see the evergreen tree with the brightly coloured lights on at winter. And they thought it was fantastic. So much so that within 5 years, there were many parts of America where people were copying it and had their own coloured lights hanging on trees. And it wasn't much longer before it spread to other parts of the world. So there we are. You've learnt something now. And some of us will have spent some of our time in preparation for Christmas in doing some of these things, sorting out presents and decorations and parties. But the other thing that we'll spend time with at Christmas is we'll give time for families. Family gatherings, meals together, and Christmas dinner. That's a major activity, isn't it? If it's not your job to be cooking it and preparing it, it's a major activity to try and consume it. In fact, they say that the average adult in this country will put on 6 pounds in weight over Christmas. So that's why everyone in January then has their New Year's resolution to try and lose that 6 pounds. That's if you've done the average, of course. Then the other thing that we quite often do at Christmas is we make journeys, don't we? Or people make journeys to come and be with us so that families spend time and gather together. Now, there's a few faces I'm not sure I recognise before. So hands up if you've already made a journey to be with a member of a family or a friend over Christmas. There's a few hands. There we are. Hands up if you're still to make a journey out of Preston to go and visit family and friends in other parts of the UK. Okay, excellent. Jolly good. Well, we hope there's going to be no more snow. But it's one of those things that we do, isn't it, to try and gather as families. And people look at Christmas as being a family gathering time. Carol Nelson said, "Christmas is a time when you get homesick, even when you're home." There's also the story of a father who decided that he'd have a family conference ahead of Christmas because he said Christmas was going to be different this year. And he challenged the other members of the family to be more disciplined in the management of their time, in the buying of their gifts, that they wouldn't go over the top and buy silly expensive things, and that they would make other members of the family who kind of come and visit them, make them feel really warmly welcomed and a part of all their festivities so that it would be a really great time. And he finished his speech at the family conference with a rousing, rallying crescendo. He said, "Let's make this Christmas the best ever." His young son quietly said in response, "I don't see how we could improve Christmas on the first one." And that's what we spend, hopefully, most of us here, some of our time doing as well, isn't it? It's time to celebrate God with us. That first Christmas, when we celebrate God's gift of us, the birth of his son, Jesus. But this isn't true for everyone. The Children's Society released the results of a poll at the beginning of December this year. And they came to this figure, that only 10% of adults across the UK think that the religious meaning is the most important thing about Christmas. Only 10%. Now, that's an average figure of all adults. If you break it down to age groups, they actually came to the figure that between 25 and 34-year-olds, only 4% thought that the real meaning of Christmas was significant for them. If you went to the over 60s, then 20% of those would say that the real meaning of Christmas was significant. What a change to the way we spend our time at Christmas, where on average only 10% would include God and celebrating the gift of Jesus to us as being significant and key to their Christmas. And if you look at the opposite figure, 67% of people said that spending time with family and friends was most important to them at Christmas. 67%. But as I said already, hopefully we will all take time to remember God's gift to us. And remember what Paul put most succinctly in his letter to the Galatians, where he said, "When the time was right, God sent his son, and a woman gave birth to him. His son obeyed the law so that we could be set free from the law and we could become God's children." There's just so much, isn't there, just packed into those two verses that we can hold on to and really celebrate at Christmas. Firstly, that God came to as a baby to live among us. God came. Emmanuel, God with us. We've sung those words and we've heard those words already this morning. But it's quite significant. And just to put it in a different context, I was remembering for myself, when I was a student at Cliff College, there was a photo hung in the common room there of the lunar landing. Can't remember which one it was, but here's a picture I found from the internet. And underneath were the words of Hale Irwin, who said this, "The most significant achievement of our age is not that man stood on the moon, but rather that God in Christ stood on this earth." It's fantastic, isn't it? And that really gives our hearts a lift. And it really says so much that even with all the advances in technology and development and invention, etc., that humankind has over the years, that a man stood on the moon can still say the greater achievement was that God took the time and out of his love came down as Jesus to be given us so that we could be set free from the law of sin and death. That's a huge gift, isn't it? To be free of that and to have the promise of eternal life through receiving God's gift of Jesus. And that through Jesus and the work of his Spirit, Paul says quite clearly, we become God's children. So we're all family, aren't we? We're all family together. We're not just friends. We're family through Jesus and through what God has done for us. So there is much to celebrate. And all this happened when the time was right, when the time had fully come, when the time arrived that was set by God the Father. He sent his son, and a woman gave birth to him. And actually, it was something that was quite a significant time. I learnt this in some of my readings this Advent time, that it was a significant time historically. We all know that it was during the reign of Caesar Augustus that a census was called and everyone had to return to their hometown. Well, Caesar Augustus actually was very instrumental in forming the Roman Empire system of government that was to last for three centuries. And it was under that rule of government that Western Europe, the Middle East and North Africa have known their most stable period in history ever. There was unity, there was peace, there was prosperity for the longest period that has ever been known in known history. And everything that was happening at that time, there was growing trade between different regions, there was a growing network of highways that the Roman Empire was building, and sea travel was kept safe as well from pirates way back then. We've got modern-day pirates today, haven't we? But everything was there. And even during that period, they were developing a postal system. I don't know what the last day for posting was then, but there was a postal system that was in operation that later Paul would use himself in getting letters sent to Christian communities that were growing in different parts of the known world at that time. So the time that Jesus came was the right time. God chose the right time to send his son into the world because there's never been a time like it since. Because with all those links and trades and methods of communication, highways, then a new message, a new movement could begin and the gospel could be spread and taken out to be established so that 2,000 years later, we're here and celebrating the fact that God sent his son at just the right time, the time that he chose to send and be present in the world himself. And just as the prophet Isaiah had said, and as was quoted in the passage we heard from Matthew, some 700 years later, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, God with us. God's timing is perfect, and all our time has been given to us by him. The most precious thing that each of us have is our time, because it's been given by God, and that's something to celebrate. But I wonder, when we think about time and the time that we have left before Christmas, I wonder how much of our time will we spend in giving ourselves to God this Christmas? How much time will we spend celebrating and giving God our praise, our thanks, and worship for sending Jesus as a gift to the world, the gift of freedom? What priority do we give to the bigger family of the church that we are a part of as God's children? And how much of our time do we recognize God with us and seek to know his timings for our lives? How does knowing God in Jesus make a difference to how we spend Christmas and how we spend the time that he has given us? They're big questions, aren't they? They're challenging questions, and I find them personally challenging myself as I think about my own use of time. I'm probably a brilliant time waster. but I'm sure I'm not on my own either, as we fill our time with different things. But the thing that's challenging me, and I want to share with you as we approach this Christmas, is encouraging you to take time out with God. Take time out to remember all that God has done for you through giving you Jesus and making you one of his children. Talk with him about your plans, your hopes, your frustrations, whatever is on your heart, whether it's something that excites you and you're looking forward to, or whether it's something that's getting you down and stressing you at this time. Share it with God. Take in that time and in those moments that you spend with him. And then as you spend time with God, pray that he will speak to you into your thoughts, in your planning and your thinking, that you might know his peace, because you'll begin to know his time. It's great when we know God's timing, and it's great to be met with him in the moment and to know that it's been a God moment, a God incidence, when he's been at work and he's answered and he's spoken and he's used us or he's been there for us through another person. So let's be encouraged by those times to seek to know him more in our day-to-day lives. And why not during this holiday season, when all of us will take time away from work, away from normal activities and routines, why not make some time to spend it with him and to start this Christmas in trying to be more aware of how we can live our moments as God moments and know that God is with us every moment through his Son, by his Spirit, as we live in our presence. But there's another side, isn't there? And I just want to finish with this. It's just a little bit of a warning, just to make us think a bit more. Because the very easy thing for all of us to do is to join that 67%, isn't it? And to make the focus family and friends and presents and giving and parties and all the things that I began with. Spending time with the Christmas telly. I wonder, what might Jesus have to say about that? Gerard Kelly, writer, poet, and a Christian speaker, puts it in these words, and I'm going to read them to you, and then we're going to finish with a time of quiet and a bit of space that God can speak as I close in prayer after I read these words of Gerard to you. When the night is deep with the sense of Christmas, an expectancy hangs heavy on every breath. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. When the floor is knee-deep in discarded wrapping paper, and the new books are open at page one, and the new toys are already broken, behold, I stand at the door and knock. When the family is squashed, elbow to elbow around the table, and the furious rush for food is over, and the only word that can describe the feeling is full, behold, I stand at the door and knock. When Christmas is over and the television is silent for the first time in 2 days, and who sent which card to whom is forgotten until next year, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And when the nation has finished celebrating Christmas without Christ, a birthday without a birth, the coming of a kingdom without a king, when I am forgotten, despised, rejected, crucified, behold, I stand. Lord Jesus, as we come again to celebrate Christmas and plan to spend our time in all the usual ways, help us not to forget. Help us not to neglect our time with you. Help us to be aware of your presence with us by your Holy Spirit. Help us to know you with us, Emmanuel. Help us to know your love, your freedom, your grace, and your goodness in our lives. And as we celebrate Christmas, help us to share it with those with whom we live and work and meet day by day. And may we know you meeting with us. Help us to be more sensitive and open to hearing your nudges, your prompting, your still small voice, that we might live in your moments and know your timing for our lives as we celebrate Christmas and as we look to living our lives with you in 2011. And so we give ourselves again to you this day. In your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.